Hi, thanks for visiting Bethel's website. I pray that God will fill your heart with faith, hope, and love as you listen to the message. Open your Bibles to Psalm 103. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 in a moment. How many of us, as we've been getting older, have noticed that there's been certain changes in our bodies? And for some of you who have no idea what we're talking about, God bless you, and one day you will. Okay? One of those changes, interestingly enough, that happens is also in our brain. And what that means is, as we get older, as a normal part of this, there is forgetfulness. And I think with our group today, there's probably not anyone here who's got to that place yet. And I'll keep on moving along. But I have heard that just in case you do struggle at times with memory lapses, you will be aggravated, you'll be frustrated, and it may even cause you to worry. So I thought maybe what I'd do is to give you some other reasons why people are forgetful that really has nothing to do with getting older. One of them is a lack of sleep. And if you're not aware of that and you're interested in it, just Google it. It's shocking how much information is tied to a lack of sleep and forgetfulness. Another one is stress and anxiety. That can cause memory loss. Another one is an underactive thyroid. So that may be a condition. Another one is too much alcohol. And you might would think, well, of course, yeah, I got drunk. But believe me, the research that we have out there says that way past the effects of alcohol, you're no longer drunk, there can still be this development of memory problems and issues. Another one, not eating enough healthy foods. How many of you, and I'm just curious, how many of you already have a good eating habit of plenty of vegetables and fruit? Okay. I hope that maybe just that little thought will be an encouragement to you, because as you get older, you're going to get more forgetful anyway. So why not build in some good habits now that can help keep you on track and maybe help stave off some of that memory loss? Depression, head injuries, even medications. Some of the things that we need to take to improve our health can also impair our memory. So there's a lot that's going on. I would say to all of us, God help us to take care of ourselves. There are things that we can do. God help us to make wise choices. But could I also say, God help us not to forget Him. And when I think about memory loss today in the context of this message, I think kind of like what Bill said in his prayer, some of the things that Shawnee read about, I wonder how much is going on in the way of God's people forgetting the Lord. And I understand people who do not profess faith in God having any interest or desire to remember. But if we're God's people, God help us to not forget Him. So that's kind of the trail I'm going to take with this message. And if you'll look at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So the big idea with this particular message, and probably the one next week too, God help us to not forget you. So we're human beings. And could I say it this way? God has given us the privilege, but also the obligation to praise the Lord. We can say it just simply with our words. Praise the Lord. We can sing it in our songs. We can live it out in our lives. And this particular psalm literally opens up with this challenge for us to praise God. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he has written these things. You didn't create yourself. So there is no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. And there are a lot of people who go through life trying to figure out, why am I here? And in the process, they never consult the one who created them. Rick Warren goes on to say, you were born by his purpose and for his purpose. And then I love this statement. Your wisest moments will be those when you say yes to the Lord. So, pulling in Psalm 150 in verse number 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So, we would think maybe with a little encouragement from God's word, with good examples from others, that this idea of praising the Lord would be an ongoing reality in our lives. But we've all lived long enough to realize and to know that's not true. In fact, sometimes instead of living a life of praise, we sink into a life of whining and complaining. They are opposite of each other, by the way. You don't have to live very long to know life can be hard. You don't have to live very long to know life is not always fair. And those are two very familiar statements. And this week I had written them out in my notes, and as I continued to just think about this thought, I jotted these things down. Sometimes, regardless of our best efforts, we can still be ignored, mistreated, betrayed, and rejected. Welcome to life. Sometimes the people who should be treating us the best are the ones who treat us the worst. God help our families. God help our friends. God help our co-workers. Instead of choosing and being intentional to live a life of praise to God, we get caught up in all the negativity and the downward pull that we often have in our own lives. And the end result is we are the ones who end up with that bad attitude. We are the ones who sabotage our own lives. You say, how? By finding fault, assigning blame, making excuses, avoiding personal responsibility, resisting personal accountability. I cannot tell you how many conversations I've had over the years with people who have messed up badly. And unfortunately, all that they want is to not be held responsible for their misdeeds. Without any sense of obligation, that not only have they messed up, in many cases they've betrayed trust, but somehow they think they're exempt from having to be accountable. Where does that come from? Sinfulness? Selfishness? For sure. Where does that come from? It comes from a bad attitude. A good attitude would say, that was all me. It wasn't you. I was at fault. I have something to prove. So how can I best do that to win back your trust? That's being responsible. That's being mature. That's showing a good attitude instead of a bad attitude. Karen and I had mentioned this earlier during the year. We had the opportunity last year in December, it seems so long ago, to actually be able to visit Chuck Swindoll's church up in the Dallas area. And it was just this unbelievable service. And from time to time over the years, there's been things that he has written that I have held on to because, to me at least, they speak so much truth and light into my soul. This is something that he has written about bad attitudes that I go back to from time to time. And it's a way of me checking my own attitude and spirit. So let me share it with you this morning. This is Chuck Swindoll. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, our skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is, we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. So, here's an interesting story. I've mentioned to you before, Karen and I would say, are reasonably committed, don't want to over-compliment ourselves, about exercise. And so since March, she's not been doing CrossFit, I've not been able to go to the gym, but we are committed to walking. And so it's not unusual, after we've had a devotional time in the morning, by 6:30 or 6:45, we are out hitting the pavement, and we'll walk for an hour. And just that's how God has kind of led us to start our day, and it works for us. This is where the story gets interesting. Not too long ago, Karen was unable to go one morning. I had went and walked by myself. I kind of went a different route, and I came across a kolache place. And I thought, this is a marriage made in heaven. Workout and kolaches. And I thought that was so cool. So as I've kind of went down that trail, so to speak, we've kind of made Friday our kolache day. And it's kind of a way of rewarding ourselves a little bit for a good week of exercise and all that good stuff. So this past Saturday, just yesterday, I thought we needed another kolache day. So I had got up early yesterday morning and I had been looking over my notes and working on this sermon and finishing it up. And Karen got up and got to stirring around and I said, hey, I'm going to go get us some kolaches and that kind of thing. And so she said, okay. So I jumped in the car and I drove over to the kolache place. Well, the times that we've went previously, it's on a Friday morning. It's usually around 7:15 or so when we get there, and the place is really pretty quiet. There's maybe a drive-through, you know, going, somebody coming through, but most, I don't know that I've ever walked in, there's been anybody else even in the store at that time in the morning. When I pull up yesterday, and this is only about 8:15, there were lines of cars, there were people in the store already, and so here I am, just waiting in the back of the line. We're all 6 feet apart. Everybody's wearing masks. And so you've heard me talk before. I have just this big analytical side to me. And so, man, I am just surveying the whole situation, watching the body language of the people in front of us, watching this lady that is managing everything and looking around, and I'm like, man, they're swamped. And so when I finally got up there and she started taking my order, and she was in such a hurry, I had realized she was wearing the headset and she was taking the orders coming through the drive-thru as well as the ones at the counter. And I was impressed at the way she was just juggling these balls, you know. So when I got up there, I made the comment to her. I said, "I am really impressed by you." And she just kind of stopped and looked at me. I said, "You're wearing a lot of hats. You are pretty good at multitasking." And her shoulders kind of dipped a little bit. And she said, "Well, thank you." She said, "Two people didn't show up today." And I'd already realized she was running that store. Just her and one person in the back. And when she would take those orders over the headset, she would turn and look back into this other area and talk to that person in Spanish. And I watched that for about 5 or 6, maybe even 7 minutes unfold. And before I left again, she said, "Thank you for the encouragement." And I walked out of that store realizing I've been in stores where all people do are complain. And I get it. Sometimes we can be bad customers. But here was a lady, her whole morning had blown up on her. And she was smiling as she was talking on the headset. She was smiling to all the customers that were in front of me. And she was smiling when she said, "Can I help you?" That lady, having a horrible day, ended up probably yesterday having a better day than many people have, just simply because she chose to have a good attitude. And can I say to you, God can help us have good attitudes if we'll ask Him. So, what about this one? God calls us to a life of praise. And let's contrast that again for a moment. Not to a life of pouting, not to a life of panicking, and not to a life of pretending. And I've heard people say, "Fake it until you make it." Sometimes that's the best we can do. But what I want to put the spotlight on is, let's not pat ourselves on the back for being a good Christian when our attitude is in the tank. That doesn't hold water, folks. That doesn't hold water. Psalm 103, verse 1. Check it out again. "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name." Could I tell you that the way God changes us from the inside out is by capturing our imagination, giving us His perspective on life through Scripture, and then we begin to incorporate God's Word into our way of living. And as that happens, that changes us from within, and the change becomes more consistent. Could I suggest to you today that if you have been struggling, or if you're prone to struggle with a bad attitude, find a verse in the Bible like this and commit it to memory. And what you'll discover eventually, maybe not initially, but eventually, is that when your attitude starts slipping off track, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you will bring to your remembrance this verse of Scripture that's becoming more of your psychic. And God will use it to straighten and align your thinking, your speaking, and your behaving. Why should we praise God? He is the source of all our blessings. I'll read James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18 for you. This will be out of the Voice translation. "My dearly loved brothers and sisters, don't be misled. Every good gift bestowed, every perfect gift received, comes to us from above, courtesy of the Father of lights. He is consistent. He won't change His mind or play tricks in the shadows. We have a special role in His plan. He calls us to life by His message of truth, so that we will show the rest of His creation, all His creatures, His goodness and His love. We can come into church and sing wonderful praises to God. But if that does not carry over into the way we live when we walk out of this building, all of God's creation misses out on seeing and hearing these signposts that says we serve a wonderful, a loving God who is worthy of our praise. No matter how difficult your life is, how many of you have had a difficult year this year? In one way or another. In one way or another. And guess what? It may get worse before it gets better. We don't know. I think most of us, I happened to glance across the room for a moment, and Brother James, Sister BJ, caught my eye. And if you walk up to them, I think anytime, wherever you are, how are you doing? You know what you're going to hear back? Blessed and thankful. From both. I had known James long enough and interacted with him long enough. I had heard that frequently. But then here's BJ in the picture, and she's saying the same thing. Thank you, Sister BJ. And that doesn't mean that we can't talk with others about our troubles. But what it does mean, if we get so fixated on our troubles, we can't say to someone else, blessed and thankful. God wants to help us realign on the inside. Can I hear an amen? What about His blessings? His past blessings? Can I hear an amen? What about His present blessings? Can I hear an amen? And what about His future blessings? Can I hear an amen? That's our God. That is our God. Reasons to praise God and not to forget Him. Let me put the spotlight on verse number 3 in the text that we read. He forgives all our sins. We know way too much about wrongdoing and consequences, don't we? The guilty conscience. Yep. The nagging regrets. The feelings of unworthiness. The self-loathing. That's what sin does to us. God's forgiveness is what changes all of that. We know way too much about wrongdoing and its consequences. God wants us to know more and more and more and more about His forgiveness. So let's walk through some references about forgiveness that supports this amazing theme. We can praise Him. We need to remember Him because He's the one who forgives all our sins. Isaiah 53:6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. It is an amazing thing to know that God loves us. And I love the verse out of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing. Connect that verse with this one out of Isaiah. We all like sheep. Everyone. That's the thing that always surprises me is when you run into a Christian that's acting so self-righteous. It's like, I don't know that they've connected how needful we all were for God's forgiveness, past, present, and future. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We can't say the devil made us do it. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's nothing that you have done, are doing now, or will do in the future that Jesus hasn't already paid the price for if it's wrong. Man, that should stop us in our tracks, drop us to our knees so that we would praise the Lord for His forgiveness. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You say, well, I'm still struggling. Welcome to the human race. If you're not struggling, then you may need to ask yourself, do I really know Him? But as we struggle, He makes us stronger. As we struggle, He gives us victory. As we struggle, we become more like Jesus. And all along the way, God is there cheering us on, because He says, if you belong to Me, there is therefore now no more condemnation. He is for us. He is not against us. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Let me connect these verses with what I was saying about struggling. A lot of people are struggling because they're not confessing and they're not repenting. Okay? So let's take a look at this one. 1 John. If we go around bragging we have no sin, then we are fooling ourselves and are strangers to the truth. But if we own up to our sins, God shows that He is faithful and just by forgiving us of our sins and purifying us from the pollution of all the bad things we have done. I almost got Catherine to drop in a picture of Bruce Lee in one of his moves. and I thought, I'll just bring it up. I'll let you just visualize that for yourself, okay? But Bruce Lee has said, mistakes are always forgivable if one has the courage to admit them. And could I say to all of us, become more courageous. Be honest with yourself. Admit your mistakes. Be honest with God. That's what confessing means. You agree with Him. And be honest with others. I think all of us deep down inside we know. When we blow it, everybody else knows it. We only lessen their respect and their trust when we don't admit it and try to make things right. There is so much power and transformation found in confession. Check this one out. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other. And some of you have already had a person that came to mind. You mean I got to put up with that person? Bear with each other. And forgive each other. If someone does wrong to you, forgive that person because the Lord forgave you. This is us growing up in Christ. This is us becoming more like Jesus. This is us learning how to let go of the grudges and to let God have His way in his life. C.S. Lewis has said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Yeah, we could be sitting here and it's like, thank God, God forgives me. Well, if you go back and you listen and you read the words of Jesus in the New Testament, He says, wait a minute. God will withhold His forgiveness from you if you're unwilling to forgive others. So let's do a little soul searching right now. Is there somebody I haven't forgiven? Is there something that happened in my life that was awful that I haven't got over yet? That may take time. I'm not saying it's an overnight thing. But we have to lean in and we have to be willing to say, God, help me to forgive. Help me to forgive. Does anybody recognize the person in this picture? Shannon? I was unfamiliar with her until I came across her story this week. She was 16 years old, and she was driving to school. She was on a country road, and Shannon, in her car, ran over a lady named Marjorie. And it killed her. She was careless. She was reckless. There was no defense. There were no problems with the automobile. The problem was with the driver. And she's 16 years old, and she wasn't paying attention enough. She was distracted. And she runs over a lady riding her bicycle on a country road, and Marjorie dies. She was at fault. Charges were filed. And it was Gary, Margie's husband, that went to the attorney and said, "I don't want you to press charges. I don't want you to press charges." And Gary went to Shannon, and this just blows me away. "Shannon, I only have one thing I want to ask you to do. I'm asking the attorneys, do not press charges. I'm asking you, don't let this ruin your life." She had already been contemplating suicide on several occasions. She didn't know what to do with it. She didn't know how to process it. The guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, everything that you can imagine, just piling on this 16-year-old. He said, "I want you to walk in the godly footsteps that my wife was walking in." That was his challenge. "I want you to walk in the godly footsteps that my wife was walking in. You can't let this ruin your life." And then he said this to Shannon, "God wants to strengthen you through this. In fact, I am passing Marjorie's legacy on to you." That's a hard one, isn't it? You don't know if she's going to make good on this second chance. You honestly don't know if she's learned anything from her experiences. But here was a Christian man that I have to believe God must have put this on his heart, or I do not think he would have went down this road. "I want you to walk in the godly footsteps of my wife." This lady, a number of years later now, she is a best-selling author. And I haven't read any of her books yet, but I did a little research and grabbed some of the titles. Here's one of the books she's written: Completely His, Loving Jesus Without Limits, Helps Women Overcome Guilt-Ridden, Wounded Lives. Here's another book she's written: Every Woman's Battle, Discovering God's Plan for Sexual and Emotional Fulfillment. Another one that she's written: Every Young Woman's Battle, Guarding Your Mind, Heart, and Body in a Sex-Saturated World. I think she's making the most of her opportunities. C.S. Lewis, he blows me away. Check out this quote: "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." Yeah. And I know we can all get defensive. Well, I haven't said that, or I haven't done that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God, help us to not forget you. And one of the many reasons why, he's the one, he's the only one, truthfully, that can forgive us of all our sins. Thanks again for listening in. 3 John verse 2 reads, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Please let me know if you have questions you would like to ask or a prayer request you want to share. You can email me at bethel4420@gmail.com. God bless.